JT live in Vegas.
From the Las Vegas Strip right to our studios on Flamingo.
Woohoo!
I'm here because I got to put two kids through college.
LeBron.
We ask everybody to participate, from Uber drivers to taxi drivers to bartenders. I mean, I never slow down. I stand up in the studio. I'm excited to be on the radio. I like energetic callers who have opinions. Sound off like you got a pair.
Woohoo!
Oh, I'm cranky Yankee. How do the Yankees lose a game like this? Are you kidding me?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Great to have you, JT, with you on Monday. Welcome to Home Run Derby. I'm actually excited about that. A great weekend in sports, all brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the home of PT, Sean Patrick, Sierra Gold, the SG Bar, where I watched a lot of World Cup. And we love everything they're doing here with this show, coming into the fantasy football draft season, where they'll have you covered with fantasy football. Remember the happy hour from 5 to 7, midnight to 2 a.m. at any of the PTs right here in the Valley. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Got a lot of catching up to do here. Big show today, the rest of the week. I'm heading to Raiders training camp. Just found out that I'll be hosting next Thursday and Friday from Napa. We're that close. Unbelievable. We are that close. Close to our in-depth team coverage of the newest pro sports team in Las Vegas, the Oakland Raiders, who will be the Las Vegas Raiders in 2020. So I'm excited about our camp coverage coming up here a week from Thursday. And I'll be up there in Napa for a long weekend, getting to know the team before the four preseason games that I'll be anchoring on the sideline on TV for the Raiders. A full preseason of four games that are going to be pretty important, because John Gruden will be breaking in a new coaching staff, a new playbook, a new culture, blah, everything. So John Gruden has got a lot of work to do. We'll talk to John Gruden next week from Napa and get a good feel for what's happening with the silver and black. What I'd like to do today is, NBA Summer League is still going on, and I'd like to get into that a little bit. If you've gone to NBA Summer League, we were there on Thursday and Friday. I was there yesterday, got my son set up there with his friends, and LeBron showed up yesterday. And that was a really big deal. And there's a lot of buzz on what happened with LeBron showing up. The internet almost broke. He showed up with his Lakers shorts on. Kobe lovers are dissing LeBron. They are taking a shot at his mural in L.A. They're coming after LeBron before LeBron even has played a game, even gone to training camp with the Lakers. And then you have LeBron, I think, had the best look that you could have. I thought it was a really sharp look for LeBron James to come to Vegas and to go to NBA Summer League. And a couple of reasons why. First off, he was engaged with the team. He definitely was there to watch these young kids play. And for whatever reason, the Lakers are one of the few teams that I've seen that really wants to win this Summer League championship. They care about this. They want to win that trophy. They want their young players to play together. And for LeBron to show up and walk in there and support by wearing Laker gear in front of a global audience, because everybody picked up on it, and using Las Vegas to do that, more so than L.A. Remember, our network's based in L.A. He was supposedly going to have a pizza party he didn't show up at. That's A-block news in L.A. How come LeBron didn't show up? LeBron's kids are enrolled here. No, he showed up in Vegas. And again, this is the point I want to make here in the monologue. Vegas has become such a global sports and entertainment city that guys are coming to Vegas before even L.A. and New York to make a statement. Now, we know that with bachelor parties, and we know that with guys who are coming here with their boys to play poker and to go to a nightclub at Hakkasan and have a lot of fun. But LeBron, I believe, picked Summer League to come for two main reasons. One, the obvious one, it's Vegas. He was with his crew. He got a chance to go to dinner and go out. But more importantly, he got to show the youngsters on that team who are not going to make the team. Brandon Ingram was there in street clothes. He sent a message to the Lakers that he's all in the offseason, and it meant enough to him and the organization as a thank you for that four-year deal to come to Vegas and show his face as a Laker there before some hokey pizza party crap in Culver City in L.A. or before some type of venue where he would have showed up at a nightclub in Hollywood. He chose Las Vegas. And I believe that's because Floyd Mayweather, who I'm not a huge fan of, has made Las Vegas global in boxing. Dana White has made Las Vegas global with the Fertittas before the sale with UFC. The Vegas Golden Knights went to the Stanley Cup final. It's a global story. Matter of fact, I could tell you that hockey's bigger globally than it is here in the United States. It's bigger in Canada than it is here. And we in Las Vegas are A-block material, mainstream material, because we have a team that went to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural year. So my son and his friends happened to be sitting courtside when LeBron showed up. And my kid was texting me, and it was like Christmas for him. He's a Laker fan. He's a Kobe fan more than LeBron. But just to see that environment, that NBA Summer League, hit out of the park by getting LeBron there is a big deal. Nothing against Chris Paul, who shows up, and Paul George in the past, and other guys. But when LeBron James shows up at the Thomas and Mack Center, it is a bleeping big deal. For the Laker fans in the Valley, am I reaching here? Or do you believe that that sends a message to Vegas, the Lakers? And is that the olive branch for LeBron James to the Kobe fanatics out there who don't like him? 876-1340. If you're a Laker fan, we want you to start using this show to talk Laker basketball. Again, I'm trying to wrestle in the Raider fans, trying to get the UNLV fans. I'm trying to get fans passionate every day. That's a big Laker story. And I would say that Vegas, am I right, is a Laker town more than who? The Suns, the Clippers, the Warriors. Oh, and the Warriors, the bandwagon is at full strength. I was out there again for most of the weekend. There are more Warrior jerseys from kids who have never been to Oakland than I've ever seen in my life. I'm everywhere. Look, my head's on a swivel. A little Steph Curry jersey. There's a Klay jersey. There's a Draymond jersey. The bandwagon is full for the Golden State Warriors. And LeBron's going down the tough road. He's going to L.A. to try to knock off the Warriors because he knows he can't do it in Cleveland anymore. And the best shot to do it is with a long-term plan and getting it done with the Lakers. There's been no movement on Kawhi Leonard, which I told you. I told you there'd be no movement. The San Antonio Spurs are playing this perfectly. San Antonio's saying, no, we're in charge. Kawhi doesn't get to do whatever he wants. Kawhi doesn't get a chance to blow us off and blow us off at the end of the year and not sit with the team and dictate where we're trading him to. I talked to people on the ground at Summer League on this topic, and they agreed with me. The Spurs are in full control of the negotiation, and Kawhi and his camp is sweating because San Antonio just didn't roll over and tell Kawhi Leonard, please, where would you like to go? When can we do it for you? No, San Antonio's saying we have all the leverage. They might get a much better deal from Toronto at the NBA trade deadline, which I think it's starting to look like Toronto, along with the Lakers, are 1-2 on where Kawhi Leonard could end up showing up. And then the other big story is Carmelo Anthony, who obviously with this buyout and the permission coming and what's happening from Oklahoma City is shopping himself, and it doesn't seem to be a hot market. It's not a hot market for Carmelo Anthony. If this was Carmelo 8 years ago, there'd be 11 teams trying to do a deal here. Now Carmelo has got to choose between the Lakers in a much smaller role, Houston as a starter, but with a coach that he's failed with in the past, or going to Miami with Pat Riley, where Pat Riley's going to insist that he's in shape, he's ready to score, he's going to have to play at a high level. So Carmelo Anthony, again, no news on that. And this is a really big deal because Magic is now on record saying that the LeBron Lakers are going to be a three-year plan, that he's going to consult with LeBron James. Oh, this LeBron's a diva. Oh, can you believe this? A guy who's lost more championships than one is part of the consulting package with Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson with LeBron says, quote, it's a whole nother level, and that the team remains disciplined to maintain salary cap space to pursue another max free agent next summer. To me, that max free agent is Klay Thompson. They have to find a way to weaken the Warriors. Weaken the Warriors and strengthen the Lakers. Klay Thompson's dad, Michael, played for the Lakers, broadcaster with the Lakers. But Klay seems to be really happy with Golden State and his role. I think Klay's the type of guy who loves to show up every year and get a ring, have a parade, score a bunch of points, and not have to sweat the details until May and June. Seems like that's what Klay's going to do. But there's going to be enough cap room next summer for Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka to put a strategy together in the free agent market to go after either Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson, or put together some type of deal to get a player that can put the Lakers over the top. So basically what Magic's saying in this comment is that they're not going to win next year. They're just not. So if you're a Laker fan, you're going to watch the Lakers, you're going to enjoy the Lakers, but they're not going to win anything. They're waiting another year. I had breakfast today with George Sedano from ESPN, who's covering the Summer League. And we spent most of our time talking about the summer of LeBron and how LeBron is going to affect Los Angeles as a media market. And again, I have to position the show differently here. I want this to be a Raider show and a Golden Knight show and a Laker show, but I don't want it to be a complete Laker show. In Los Angeles, they want everything to be LeBron. So if you're already sick of LeBron in the morning with your coffee and at night with your dinner, put it on steroids. You're going to see more LeBron than you've ever seen. They're going to be talking about LeBron when he's winning, when he's losing, on an off day, when he's winning. You are going to get so much LeBron James fatigue that unless you're a Laker fan, you're going to be the only people who enjoy it. The Lakers are the only fans that are going to enjoy this. And I'm a Yankee fan, and if you listen to this show, you hear no Yankees. I'll give you a highlight. I'll play a soundbite if Judge hits a home run. But I live in Vegas. I don't come here every day and do a one-hour Yankee show. That's what you're going to get from Bristol, Connecticut, to Miami, to Portland. It's LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. And they're not even ready to win now. Let's move on again with World Cup. I thought that the World Cup was fabulous. I thought, other than the fact that the United States didn't participate, they put on a hell of a show. I was wrong about Russia. I was right that they're corrupt as hell. They scammed the Olympics and they scammed this. They paid off FIFA and got it. But there was no riots. There was no violence. There was no hooliganism. And I think France getting off to that big lead in the World Cup final really brought an A-list global team to Moscow for this big game.
Mbappe is going to be on the run on this quick long ball. Ivan Šešelj there to defend. Mbappe running in. Mbappe cutting the byline. Now the cross. Griezmann, can he pick it up? His back's to goal. How about Pogba through traffic? Second chance for Pogba!
Yeah, so they have some global stars there. Pogba and this guy Mbappe, who had another big game at 19 years old. To have another young superstar who at 19 years old becomes the most recent teenager since Pele to score a goal in the World Cup final.
In for Kylian Mbappe now.
So that was a comfortable win for France as they beat a really good team. And I thought when you look at Croatia, Croatia only had 4 million people. I spent about a week talking about the fact that Detroit, the city of Detroit, is bigger than Croatia. And they're in the World Cup final and we can't participate. Just remember that. Take that courtesy of JT to a sports bar and tell everybody that. Detroit is bigger than Croatia and we can't participate in the World Cup. So if you watched the World Cup and loved it, let me know. Put a bow on it. 876-1340. And if you're excited, the next World Cup's the biggest scam in Qatar. That they bought that too. People are dying daily building stadiums in heat. And again, that's another tiny country where they're going to have the World Cup. I don't get that. And then we're next. We're on deck after that with Canada and Mexico, which I think is going to be a nice fit to see fans be able to watch the World Cup in North America spread out that way. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I like the World Cup because I like when fans are so passionate that their country can live and die with a game. Compared to the Dallas Cowboys losing, the only people that get upset are people in Dallas and Cowboy fans. When the entire country, did you see that celebration in Paris? I mean, you don't see those celebrations here. Even when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, you see a neighborhood in Philadelphia where those drunks are on light poles and they're going crazy. You don't see the entire city of Philadelphia like you do when you saw Paris. That was just fantastic to see. The other thing that went down over the weekend was Wimbledon. And there were some highs and lows in Wimbledon. First off, Serena Williams. For Serena losing in the final, wow, what a disappointment. I think if Serena would have won that match, and she's the same person, she's the same mom, she's the same legend, the same person. But after Serena lost that match, it took away all of my energy to call her the greatest tennis player of all time. Sorry, that's the way I see it. You got to win. I'm not going to crown Serena better than Federer, better than all of them, and she loses to some young girl that you don't even know who she is. So Serena, I thought, lost a golden opportunity to stamp her legacy, which she might be able to do later on this summer at the U.S. Open or at other events, but losing in the finals of Wimbledon, that was rough.
I was really happy to get this far. It's obviously disappointing, but I can't be disappointed. You know, I have so much to look forward to. You know, I'm literally just getting started, so I look forward to it.
Yeah, it's a nice point. The fact that she gave birth, she had complications giving birth, and then she's on center court at Wimbledon, that's pretty incredible. That's one of the great achievements we've seen in sports, and I think she'll be able to bounce back and win again, but that was for the moms that she was playing for this weekend.
I'm just me, and that's all I can be, but to all the moms out there, you know, I was playing free today, and I tried, but to, you know, just continuing to be back out here and do what I do best.
Yeah, I just think it was a lost opportunity for that to be one of the greatest sporting events of all time. I think if she wins that Wimbledon as the 25th seed, coming off the baby, and that stamps everything, I think we could look back a year from now and say, what's the greatest event of the year? Was it the World Cup? Was it the Super Bowl? Was it the Final Four? No, it's Serena. Serena winning Wimbledon coming off her pregnancy would have been bigger than anything else. But it's just like this is going to be a tough one, Bobby. Watch this analogy. It's kind of like the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, Vegas Golden Knights isn't the biggest story of all time because they didn't win the cup. They were runners-up for the cup. So it's a great story, but it isn't stamped as the greatest story of all time. We were this close. Same thing. And Djokovic winning his 13th major. Absolutely brilliant. The semifinal against Nadal was insane as he won in fifth set tiebreaker. But this win on Sunday was also impressive.
The Serb serves for the title. Down the center. The return's in the net. Djokovic, Wimbledon champion for the fourth time. Down on his knees briefly, but then up to shake hands with Kevin Anderson at the net. A pat on the back from the giant South African who finally has been felled today in his amazing run to this final. But it is the former champion, now the new champion of Wimbledon in 2018, Novak Djokovic, who roars his delight to the heavens.
If he would have won the last 2 years, he'd be sitting at 15 or 16 majors at 31. We'd be talking about him possibly as the greatest tennis player of all time. He's still got a chance to do it. He's got a lot of years left playing at a high level. Rich in Vegas, as always, we appreciate you calling in on LeBron. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, buddy? First of all, thanks for having me on. Hopefully I don't suck. But I was calling because I did not go to Summer League myself, but my nephew did, and it was the same thing you were saying, like your son. My phone started exploding with pictures, videos. LeBron showing up to Summer League for today's millennials would be like if they had Summer League when Michael Jordan was playing back in the day, and him showing up. The buzz that I could filter his messages was just incredible, and I think it was just great. I myself am not a Lakers fan. I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm an old-school Jordan head, like most of my generation in their 40s. But like you were saying, just him showing up, showing his face, just for the young kids, the Lakers fans, the NBA, I think it was fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for the call. It's just such a good look. I mean, we sit here, and I'm at fault with it every day, doing radio every day. That you got to criticize these guys when there's a criticism. They lose. They're a diva. They do this or that. Whatever it is, you got to criticize certain guys. It's not a bad look at all with LeBron showing up at Summer League. It does so much for Vegas. It does so much for the brand of NBA Summer League. It's just a good look overall. So let's learn to give credit where credit's due. LeBron did the city of Las Vegas I thought he did him a favor by coming here, and that's what this NBA Summer League's about. And I think when you look at Warren Legere and Albert Hall and how they had a vision to make this big, it's big, and it's going to get bigger every year, and there's a couple more nights out there. Again, my sons are going right there after practice today. They're there to watch these games and to watch the final tomorrow. NBA Summer League has been absolutely fantastic. Gary Lawless is going to join us coming up. We're going to talk about the contract extension for Marc-Andre Fleury. He's an expert on this, the Golden Knight insider. and he has a lot to say on this. We tried to get into this on Friday, but I was at Summer League. It wasn't a good fit with the chaos of background noise. I want to talk to him about the best professional signing in the history of Vegas. We brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway in Henderson.
The JT the Brick Show is brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the owners of PT's, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, the SG Bar, and now the Stratosphere.
Soderberg makes a lead pass up the middle, a shot saved by Fleury! One on none! And Johnson denied by Marc-Andre Fleury.
But then the fact, the success that we've had, you know, over the season, winning is always makes everything better, right? And then the fans, how much they supported us right from day one, and they were crazy all season long, you know, and the playoffs were a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, that's Marc-Andre Fleury, who gets that contract extension, 3 years added on to the one, so you have him as the face of the franchise for the next four seasons. We'll talk to Gary Lawless coming up here in a few moments. And I love that deal for a lot of reasons here. I think the franchise is already stable beyond its years. Everybody knew this was a unique franchise in an expansion year, their inaugural season. But to watch them jump in and go to the Cup Final and then to lock up their best player and lock them up long term, I think that's tremendous. That's what I do for a living. I talk about the biggest names and the biggest stars in sports, and we have one here in Vegas, as Vegas Golden Knights insider Gary Lawless joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Gary, I'm jealous of those photos of Lake Winnipeg. Looks like it's cool, relaxing, and fun. How are you?
I'm pretty good, JT. How are you?
Good. Are you enjoying some time away from this 115-degree heat in Vegas?
Yeah, well, we're lucky enough to have a place here, and the weather has been great, and actually today was a little cloudy, so we drove into town to watch a movie. It was very, very relaxing out here. Real good stuff.
I want to stay on this for a second, because you did such a great job with this team this year, and it's such a short off season because you go that deep into the Cup Final. You're obviously going to have less preparation. You go into next year. For the Canadians who love summer in Canada, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I like the 4th of July in New York, and I try to get out to L.A. to get out of this heat. It must be so peaceful and calm, the fishing, the nights. It's just calmer than it is in the States, right? You're able to unplug.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a Canadian thing, you know. It's a really big country. There's a lot of wide open space. There's a lot of lakes, and the real estate is cheap. So most people are fortunate enough to have a place to go to in the summer, and that's just great for family life, right? You know, my little girl gets to ride her bike, and we have a little boat. She gets to swim, and it's great family time. It's fantastic.
Gary Lawless is our guest. I'm sure you're not shocked or surprised by the contract extension for Fleury. What jumped out at you when it comes to the compensation and the years, the three-year extension?
You know, the timing for me is perfect because he's 33. He'll be 37 at the end of this contract. He's not a heavy lumbering guy. So, some guys drop off really fast. With Marc-Andre Fleury, because of the passion he has and also the physical, his physical composition, he's light, 6'2", 180. He's not going to get slow very quickly. If he does at all during this contract, it won't surprise me if he continues to play at a really high level throughout. The other part of it is it gives George McPhee some time to find the next guy, and then there can be a transition. And at some point in time, someone else is going to be the number one goaltender for the Vegas Golden Knights. The opportunity, let's say that one of the kids they've already drafted or already signed, it turns out to be them. They get to be with Fleury for 2, 3, 1 year, depending on how it all shakes out. But they're going to get to learn from the very best. So there's stability right now. There's elite goaltending right now. There's the opportunity for a succession plan and Fleury to become a tutor slash goalie coach near the end of the contract if they find the right guy.
Yeah, that's what I think is important, because he's got to be in a position as the face of the franchise and a leader to groom young teammates underneath him, obviously at his position. And I don't think you now have to wear him out. And do you expect him to have a lighter load in regards to the regular season coming up here in the next couple of years so he's fresh for deep postseason runs?
Well, I thought that was you know, the concussion injury during the regular season was unfortunate. But those 6 weeks, at the end of the year, his legs are still fresh. So, listen, I think if it's Malcolm Subban or Max Legacy or Oscar Dansk or one of the young kids that they've drafted, if they can play 25, 27, 30 games and keep Fleury in between 50 and 55 and not let him get up into the 60s, 65s, I think it makes a huge difference. I think it was 48 was his regular season total this year. So, you know, even if you added 7 games to that number, I still think you're in a really good range.
Gary Lawless is our guest, kind enough to join us in Canada. We appreciate just a few more minutes with him. And Gary, overall with George McPhee, the message from Bill Foley on what they've done, saying goodbye to James Neal, but trying to have qualifying offers available, the depth of the draft and what they have, and just the fiscal responsibility of this brand new club after the expansion fee, what it costs to get this franchise up and running. What do you think about their spending this offseason?
I think they're willing to spend. It's just they're not going to spend on players that they're worried about. The term is so critical. You know, if you like James Neal, God love him, he got 5 years. So I think that's fantastic for James Neal. Mm-hmm. But 5 years for a player over 30, you're paying early. You're paying late for what you get early. And McPhee doesn't want to do that yet. He does not want to hamper his franchise at this stage. And I'll tell you what, losing Neal and Perron, it obviously people look at that and they go, wow, that's a lot of assists and that's a lot of goals. They replace the assists with Paul Stastny. And Paul Stastny is such a playmaker, he is going to turn Thomas Tatar and Alex Tuch into Alex Tuch will score, I think, 20-plus. And Tatar has already scored 20 in his last 4 seasons running. He didn't catch on with Vegas. He didn't get hot with Vegas because he was never right with the right playmaker. I think Paul Stastny is going to turn Thomas Tatar into a 25-30 goal scorer, and you've replaced what you've lost in terms of Neal and Perron. That's why getting Tatar at the trade deadline, it was about last year, but it was also about the future. They got that insurance in case Neal and Perron were offered big contracts with term that they didn't want to match.
Right.
George McPhee was insured going into free agency.
Gary, we'll let you go. Thanks for making time on vacation. We'll get you in studio when you come back. Really appreciate your time.
Take care, JT. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Gary Lawless, fantastic that we can get him here on the radio as he's in Lake Winnipeg. And, you know, this team's about fiscal responsibility. That's what sports is about. That's what the Raiders are dealing with now before they come to Vegas with Khalil Mack. You know, they'd like to give Khalil Mack more money than anybody, but they have to be fiscally responsible. They just gave that money to Derek Carr. They're going to have to give it to Amari Cooper. You have to look at the cap and wonder what you're going to do. But the Vegas Golden Knights are in a really good situation. They've already gone as far as any team could ever dream of in their expansion year. But now it doesn't look like they're going to take a step back. To me, they look as strong as they looked last year at the midway point. Because last year when the season started, no one thought they'd be any good. I repeat, no one thought they'd be good. Forget about great. They ended up being great. Now, your expectations, listening to the flagship here, is that we need to be great. No. You're not going to be great every year. You're going to be good and very good. How many times can you be great? Well, you just got 1-for-1. I think it could go 2-for-2, 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4. I think we could see the Vegas Golden Knights in the Western Conference semis and finals over the next 5 years, every year. I think they're going to be that strong. but it's going to have to be on the back of Marc-Andre Fleury playing great once the playoffs come around. Because you know this, and every hockey fan who was there gets it. You can't win without a hot goaltender. Unfortunately, in his career, Fleury's been hot in the postseasons more times than not. Thanks again to Gary Lawless. Schmitty, our NBA, our boxing insider, is supposed to join us here coming up in a moment. And Mario Lopez is checking in. He tells me he's supposed to come in now from Access Hollywood. He wanted to talk boxing. He's got an event in L.A. If we don't get him up here in a few minutes, we'll get him on the night show coming up at 5 o'clock, so I'm working on that too. The Henderson Hyundai Superstore right there, Boulder Highway in Henderson, is where I'll be Wednesday at 11. I just walk in the showroom and seeing what a superstore looks like. Looking forward to heading out there and seeing the guys and gals who run that superstore on Wednesday afternoon. Coming up next, Manny Pacquiao is back in a big way. What a win for Manny Pacquiao. We'll recap it with Schmitty next.
You're listening to JT the Brick on Fox Sports Radio. Call the show at 702-876-1340 or send a tweet to at JT the Brick.
JT back with you as we continue. Manny Pacquiao won. Lucas Matisse, I cannot believe that Pacquiao won that fight so easily. Joining us from InThisCornerTV.com, he is the MC for the International Boxing Hall of Fame, my go-to boxing insider, James Schmitty Smith. And Schmitty, we were texting before the fight. It was difficult enough to find it and then have to wait for it on ESPN+. But I have to admit, Manny delivered once again to a global audience.
Yeah, he did. And I won't give away my resources, but I didn't use the app. It was too damn difficult for somebody of my advanced age and lack of tech savvy. I didn't know I'd need an IT guy to find a damn fight, but I found a way to watch it, and it was one of those things where the lesser of the two guys, you know, in terms of being over the hill, was the one who got it done, and that's Manny Pacquiao. Even though at age 39, Manny's such a tremendous athlete and physical specimen. I never thought a little guy like him, when I say little guy, meaning, you know, guy under, you know, 150 pounds, would be able to hang around to 39 years of age with his frenetic style and all the fights that he's had and all the... I mean, Manny has actually fought more than half of his adult life. So when you consider how good he can still look, it is, you know, simply amazing, JT. But I got to tell you something, Lucas wasn't there to win the fight, and I'll give a little secret away. When a guy is throwing his left jab off of his on his heels, backing up, or you know, throwing it and then taking a step back, he's tentative. He's not there to win the fight. I like Lucas Matisse. At one time, he was one of the best pound for pound fighters in the world, but he wasn't there. He was there more so to survive, if he could. And when he realized that it was going to be really tough doing that, he took, as I tweeted while it was happening, he kind of, you know, he took the easiest route, and that's a couple of knees and a way out of there.
Yeah, I thought that was a terrible legacy loss for him. Not because losing to Pacquiao makes you look bad, because Pacquiao's the ultimate Hall of Famer and warrior, but the way he went down and the shots that put him down, really surprising. And you were very tight with Muhammad Ali, and I give Ali a lot of credit for the way that he fought in different time zones. When he fought in Manila, when he fought around the globe, he had to accustom his body in Africa to the time zones. And there were some great stories about Foreman and Ali and who handled that.
Ali actually fought in Asia as well one time during his career, where Manny fought.
Yeah, and the point is, I thought that Manny was really comfortable in that environment where Matisse wasn't. Did it have anything to do with time zone and location, where Manny was just more comfortable and more potent?
Against Victor Postal a few years ago, we saw, you know, that there was a little bit of, I don't take it away, because I actually fought professionally. Those guys are the toughest of tough, but, you know, some guys, when they let's say get civilized, or things happen in their lives where they realize that, you know, that boxing's not everything, they'll take the, you know, the lesser of the two roads, the easier of the two roads. And he did it against Pascal when he kind of, you know, quit fighting when he hurt his eye, and he did it in this fight. I could clearly see, I hated to be tweeting it, but I promised fans I would, that he was going to, you know, I saw it after two or three rounds, mm-hmm. and he was going to look for a way out of there. And he was clearly looking right into the referee's eyes. You know, if it had been a Gotti type of warrior with that type of mentality, then he would have gotten up and you know, continued on fighting. But it just wasn't the case. For whatever the reason, that was the case.
Schmidty's our guest as we wrap it up. I thought he was ripped off by Jeff Horn in Australia. I thought he won that fight. He just beats Matisse. Now everybody went on the internet and went on Instagram and especially Twitter and saying it makes sense now for Manny to fight Floyd again because he's healthy. He's coming off a really big win. He's at 100%. He claimed he had an injury in the last Floyd fight. And if I'm Floyd, I got to be sitting around going, oh, my God, I can get paid again because there's no one else out there that Floyd wants to fight. Is there a possibility that talk will come about here in the next couple months?
In boxing, where everything is backwards, there's always a possibility. And as you said, it makes perfect sense when it's because of its boxing and for the reasons you just mentioned. Other than that fight, I wouldn't mind seeing Lomachenko go up and him fighting Lomo. And the reason I say that, you know, he'll get beat by Lomachenko, in my opinion, or he'll get beat by Errol Spence or Terrence Crawford. But those guys, Crawford and Spence, might do some harm to Manny.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Manny, who carried boxing for so many years, when Floyd wasn't carrying it, I'd love to see him get one more big payday and not get hurt. So I'd rather see him do Lomo. And Floyd's another good one, too, because he certainly's not going to get hurt by Floyd. And you know what? He'd probably have a better chance against Floyd now than he did, you know, when he fought him a while back.
So, I agree 100%.
Who the hell knows, JT?
And Schmidty, that's what I think. I really believe, and again, not to make excuses because the Floyd-Manny fight didn't deliver, but Manny looked a hell of a lot better coming off this fight going into a potential Floyd fight again than he did when we saw the first fight. Hey, finally, we'll be talking to you. We'll be live from Press Row for Triple G and Canelo. End this with something that our listeners could really enjoy from your perspective on what's going to happen in this fight, especially with the promotion. I thought they laid an egg on their first press conference. Neither one of them had energy. They're paid to sell tickets. They're making a lot of money. They want to do a nice number on the pay-per-view. I know there are language difficulties with both fighters, but I don't think this promotion is going as expected. Do you?
I just sat down for an extended interview with Triple G just over a week ago. You can go to InThisCornerTV.com. That's InThisCornerTV.com and check it out. I couldn't get anything out of Gennady. And
Wow. Gosh
knows I tried. I got a lot more out of Abel Sanchez. The bottom line is, because of all the reasons, and the clenbuterol, the controversy of the first fight, the fact that I do know that Gennady feels his legacy, you know, was screwed up a little bit because he got a draw instead of a win, which he should have gotten. And Canelo has the weight of the Mexican world on his shoulders for a lot of reasons. It will be a better fight. I guarantee you it will be a better fight. And I hope that the ending is much more decisive, and I hope it's legit and real this time. And we'll have a lot of time to dissect that as we get closer to September the 15th.
Looking forward to going to InThisCornerTV.com and taking a look at that interview with Triple G. Schmidty, thanks for the time coming off the weekend. Have a good one.
Thanks, my friend.
All right, there's Schmidty joining us. That's really a big deal. Really a big deal for Manny Pacquiao to win. I had people over the house, and we were trying to get it on ESPN+. And what happened is they put the undercard on ESPN. So the undercard ended early. So if you went to ESPN+, like I did, instead of having reporters killing time, getting you ready for the fight, they showed the beginning of an undercard with no one in the arena leading up to the Pacquiao fight. It was a terrible broadcast. So finally, the fight comes on, and I sit in front of the TV, and I'm watching Manny Pacquiao look as good as I've seen him look in the last 3 or 4 years. And again, I've said, I can't tell you how much joy Manny Pacquiao has brought to my life as a sports fan and covering boxing as much as I have. Every time I'd go to a Manny fight in Vegas over the years, great night out. Just as we talked about what the Vegas Golden Knights have done, what LeBron does when he comes in for Summer League, think of all the revenue that Manny Pacquiao has brought to this great city. And he usually delivers. The one time he didn't deliver was the Floyd fight. And that was just a bizarre set of circumstances. We're waiting on Mario Lopez to check in. He might before the top of the show. If not, we'll get him on the other side sometime next hour. We'll wrap it up with a preview of what's going to happen tonight at MLB Home Run Derby. Here's another thing that typically I'm not excited for. And then every time I watch it, I absolutely love it. It always delivers. From Josh Hamilton to Giancarlo Stanton to the judge, Todd Frazier, whoever it is, you always get a great show. And the pressure tonight, I'll get to that next on Bryce Harper. PTI led off their show on Bryce Harper today, the Las Vegas native, and crushed him and said he better show up tonight if he wants $400 million.
You're listening to the JT the Brick Show, the place where the Raider Nation comes to react.
And a fly ball hit to left center field and deep. Margot at the wall. Leafs can't get it. It's an opposite field home run for Max Muncy. The shutout is over. The Dodgers' heartbeat continues, but they've got three runs yet to go.
Muncy, how about that? Every year there's always a player that comes out of nowhere and has a good first half and does great things. JT, back with you, courtesy of our good friends at Golden Entertainment, the home of the PTs. Remember, right here at the top of the hour, you can go to any PTs in the Valley, watch Home Run Derby. It will be electric. It will be exciting because Bryce Harper is in it tonight. And here's the key with Bryce Harper. I was shocked today because the PTI with Kornheiser and Wilbon, they're hosting from the ballpark because that's where their show's based out of in D.C. And they really went after Bryce Harper in regards to what he's going to get going forward. He wants a $400 million contract, and I don't see how he could get that when he's not even batting 220. Now, for people who say, well, it's a different time now in baseball. We don't care so much about average. We care about home runs. He's got 23 home runs and 54 RBI. So let's just figure that he ends up with 48 home runs, and he's got 120 RBI, which is a pretty good number. That's great. But if the guy's batting 214, would you pay Bryce Harper $400 million? Now, I'm a Yankee fan. I would love to see him hammer that porch in right field. But the Yankees went down a different road with Giancarlo Stanton. They decided to give him $300 million and absorb that contract. I thought they should have waited. So that leads us to tonight for Bryce Harper, who is still a young guy here, 25 years old. He's been in the league 6 years. He started very young. There is enormous pressure on him to win and win in D.C. before he leaves, because I think he's going to leave. I'd be shocked if they're going to keep him there, because I think the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Yankees all have the revenue streams to give him over $300 million. But I'm standing firm with this, and we talked about this with Josh Towers on the show. You can't reward a guy. You can't give a guy $400 million if he's batting 215. Sorry. Mickey Mantle didn't bat 215. Joe DiMaggio didn't bat 215. Tony Gwynn didn't bat 215. George Brett. The list goes on and on. You've got to bat 280, 290 and have these type of numbers. And what's happening is the league is getting smarter with Bryce Harper. They're not giving him anything good to hit. He's swinging at anything. He's not as disciplined as he used to be. And Bryce Harper's falling into the trap that Mike Trout is not falling into. Mike Trout will go up there and hit a single the other way. He'll get a double. Bryce Harper wants to hit a home run every time up, batting 214. So because of the importance of Bryce Harper in Vegas and what he does for this community, I think he's fantastic. I'd like to see him get paid. I'd like to see him be happy. But I wouldn't pay him this type of money. So they think there's pressure on him tonight to win Home Run Derby. And there might be some truth to it. Because tonight, he's at home, he's a star, he's in a free agent year, and this is all about entertainment. And with his long hair and what he does and his look, he's an entertainment guy. So you better show up tonight because Judge has and Stanton has. And a lot of the young players in this league who are young superstars have shown up in Home Run Derby. So Bryce Harper's got to get out of the first round, got to get into that second round, and then just start tattooing the upper deck. And if he does, This is the society we live in today. SportsCenter will run it in a loop. They'll run it in a loop around the clock and forget everything I said, and he's back to being Bryce Harper, and he's concentrating on the second half of the year. So we got Home Run Derby tonight. Tomorrow we have the MLB All-Star Game. It doesn't mean anything because they're not playing for home field advantage. So we'll have a couple of days off here of baseball, and then we'll get going starting next weekend with our football coverage. I like to go college football first into the NFL, and next Thursday, Friday, I'm up in Napa at Raiders training camp, which will be unique because someone picked the Raiders today to go 5-11 on TV. I said, what? Where's my camera? Let me screenshot that. I screenshotted the 5-11 prediction from the Silver and Black, and I don't wish that on anybody. 5-11 is tough when you're an NFL team. Thanks to Bobby who put the show together. Thanks to Schmitty. And obviously a really good guest in Gary Lawless, the Vegas Golden Knights insider. Will try to reschedule Mario Lopez, who, by the way, blew out his Achilles on July 4th sparring. That does suck. And he's hosting a big, big gala in L.A. tomorrow night, the Game On Gala. We should get him a little bit later on in the show. Remember, if you're looking for the Home Run Derby tonight, pull over at a PT's. They got the happy hour. It starts right now. Reduce prices on the menu, all the drink specials. You'll love it. It's the place I go for happy hour. Tonight, Ephraim Salam will join us from Fox Sports 1. Mark Followill, our soccer insider, checks in. And Rob Parker. For Bobby, I'm JT. Find me on Twitter at JT The Brick, and we're on Facebook at JT The Brick.